Hello, and welcome to Business Talk, brought to you by Business West and Living Local. Hi, I'm Chris Kellogg from the Kellogg Crew Morning Show on 94.7 WMAS, and I'd like to introduce our host of Business Talk. He's the editor and associate publisher of Business West. Here's George O'Brien.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Business Talk, a very important episode. Well, they're all important. This one, perhaps even more so. We have what amounts to breaking news, if you will. We're going to talk today about something called the Unemployment Insurance Solvency Fund Assessment. This has been, like I said, breaking news. A lot of business owners have been getting those letters from the state recently detailing what their assessments are, and they have been hit with what can only be described as sticker shock. Here to talk about it today is Suzanne Murphy. She is the CEO and founder of Unemployment Tax Control Associates in Springfield. Suzanne, how are you this morning?
I'm well this morning, all things considered.
All things considered.
Yes.
You have been very busy the last few weeks, I'll say, and the past several days especially, doing podcasts like this, meeting with the media, and especially talking with clients, trying to help them make sense of something that seemingly came from out of nowhere. Although it really wasn't out of nowhere. I think all of us expected that eventually the bill was going to come due for all the massive amounts of unemployment that have been incurred during the pandemic. And that's essentially what this is. We'll talk about it some more. But just so people will know, tell us about you and your company. It's a great company. You've been doing this for, what, 30 some odd years now?
I'm going to say I've been doing it since my 20s. So yeah, you hit that number. It's just about right.
Okay.
Being a woman, I'm not going to give you exact dates.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah, so I've been in the industry for just about 30 years. And in that time span, I can tell you in terms of giving this in context, have never, ever seen anything like this before. So literally, when we went into the system, we went into the unemployment portal system, the online system, and we took a glance at the solvency, at the rate notices that they were uploading. The jaw-dropping comment there that went out kind of found some traction in the media wasn't hyperbole at all. I mean, I literally, my jaw dropped. I said, this can't be right. And we all were leaning in, looking at it. This has got to be a mistake. This must be just a filler that they've put in, for the time being. But basically, what UTCA does is we manage employers. We manage the unemployment programs for employers. So they outsource the task and the responsibilities of the unemployment administration on their accounts to our organization. So it's what we do. So we really are leaning into this much more obviously than others would, including businesses. So we got to look at this, the first look at this, and said, we have a problem, we have a big problem. So that's kind of how it evolved. And so the fight continues in terms of, where we're going to go with this and what employers can expect. But we did get some good news late last night. So that was
okay. Let's start by talking about exactly what the Unemployment Insurance Solvency Fund Assessment is. Most business owners know a little bit about this. Their HR departments are certainly handing them for a lot of them. But explain in layman's terms, if you can, and that might be a little bit difficult, exactly what the rate is and how it works.
The solvency assessment is a factor that impacts your rate, so your individual rate. So think of it in terms of almost like your car, driving a car, where you have a merit-rated insurance system. If you get too many tickets and traffic violations and things of that nature, every incident will drive up the cost of your insurance. Well, it's kind of the same thing for employers when it comes to claims. If they have a lot of claim activity, their individual experience rating will go up. And that's set by schedules. In fact, the schedules that our legislature just recently addressed, that's part of it. But there's also this, let's say, a no-fault type of pool, which is the solvency assessment. And that solvency assessment is the socialized percentage. It's basically, it's a socialized cost that all employers pay, regardless of how well they drive or what their claim incidents may be. And that solvency assessment was, that fund was heavily used, much more than it has ever been historically, for the relief of COVID claims. So, you know, it's just a different bucket they moved it to, where it's not punishing the individual employer and their individual merit rating, their individual account per se, in terms of what their rate will be because of their own activity.
So the rate last year was 0.58%, if I understand correctly.
Correct.
And the rate now is 9.23%.
Exactly.
That is a huge increase.
1,600%.
What are some businesses seeing in terms of increases? These are thousands, tens of thousands of dollars, maybe millions in the case of large businesses.
Exactly. If you're fortunate, you're only seeing a few thousand. If you're a smaller business, it's very likely you may be seeing maybe 4,000, 5,000, 6,000. And that's if you're fortunate. Many employers are seeing tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, and a good number are also seeing millions.
And as you've noted in a lot of the media coverage that I've seen, this comes at a time when a lot of businesses just can't absorb something like this. They're still reeling from COVID. They're trying to fight their way back from the devastation, the loss of business. A lot of these businesses are hurting themselves and now they're being hit by this. So I assume you've been on the phone a lot. Kind of run us through a typical conversation that you would have with a business owner that dials the UTCA number.
Well, we're hearing, how are we going to do this? The big question is, how are we going to come up with this? We didn't see it coming, so it's not like we were able to budget it. And if we had seen something like this coming, given our revenue, given the reduction in our own sales, given how COVID has impacted us, given the fact that we have not even brought back all of our employees, we're still not ramped up, how exactly are we going to dig into our very small operating budget and come up with this in very little time? Because those payments, the first of those payments, are due for the largest reporting quarter, which is Q1, April 30th. So,
well, that has now been moved back to June 1st, as I understand it.
It has. The filings, there's a distinction here, because the payments have been held off, or there's an abeyance on those in terms of actually having to cut the check, pay that Q1 unemployment tax. However, the filing still must be made on the April 30th day. So they still want to have the filings in. They want to know exactly what they have for inflows into the fund, assuming there are no changes.
Right. Well, assuming there are no changes, there are a lot of people who are probably thinking that this is something that might be voluntary, something you can negotiate, something you can call up the state and say, you know, I don't want to pay this. I don't need to pay this. Can I pay this? And said, this is non-negotiable. This is what this is. This is non-voluntary, and it's hitting what, as I understand it, every for-profit business in the state. Is that correct?
That's correct. In fact, in terms of the actual solvency assessment, they've already paid it. It's been deducted from their account. So that's the distinction employers need to understand, because they're saying, well, we don't want to pay this. We're not going to pay that. The unfortunate thing is, just like a checking account, that line item has already reduced, been taken. So they've already done an auto debit, so to speak, to their individual unemployment account, rather.
So moving forward then, every business in the state is looking for some kind of relief from this. And you're already starting to work with others to kind of marshal some forces, talk to state legislators about what they can do to not just delay that first payment, but actually kind of get business owners some relief in the form of using COVID relief monies to actually replenish this fund and take the burden off of business owners and put it back on the state. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Certainly. So there were several asks that we had, but all reasonable and we think doable. The first being asked was that they stay the payments, which it appears they have done that. The second would be that they don't enforce any penalties or fees, interest or assessments as a result of that stay. And the down the road ask, but still on very much the ask, is that they redirect if there are any remaining CARES funds from the CARES Act, from the stimulus under President Trump, that they deploy those to the solvency, to address the solvency, that being a very immediate need. So those funds would be readily available in terms of legally the ability to use them, because there is no barrier provision in the CARES federal language to use it.
Now, what is the dollar amount we're talking about here?
We don't know. That is unfortunate. That is something that no one currently has been able to ascertain. If there's CARES stimulus funds residing somewhere unused that could be directed towards this, is the big question. That's a very big question. We have done research on it. We had our general counsel on it, and he was unsuccessful himself, as well as other organizations we have contacted in determining if there, in fact, was any CARE, are any CARES funds remaining. So the look right now is the focus on moving away from CARES is whether or not we can use President Biden's ARPA funds, so the American Rescue Plan funds. Those funds most definitely would be needed and should be directed towards this. The issue is there is a legal language in the provisions that differ between CARES and ARPA, where it appears it may have been inadvertent that there is language in the ARPA bill that prohibits the use of those funds to offset any tax revenue shortfalls.
So obviously Massachusetts is not the only state that is dealing with this. What are we hearing from some of the other states about what they're doing? Is the problem as acute in those? Is there a model we should be looking to? I've heard Maryland is looking to use American Rescue Act funds.
Yes, absolutely. Maryland is one state. I believe there are others that have already essentially incorporated that into their projections for their solvency deficits and are counting on doing so. Now, there's a difference between making planning and projecting and actually being able to use those funds because of the barrier provision in the ARPA language. So it is my understanding that they are working out through some type of litigation with the Justice Department how the guidelines can be interpreted or changed or vacated so that those funds can be freed up and that language basically amended. So they can count on it and they can project it, but they have not in fact used it because the first tranche of funds have not even been released. That's scheduled for May 10th.
So I understand lobbying efforts are going on with individual legislators and the governor. This makes sense. I mean, businesses did not cause this problem. The state ordered a shutdown. This is where a lot of these layoffs came from last spring. This is a state-caused problem. It should be the state working to solve this up. What are you hearing from the senators that you've spoken with and the people in Boston about what they think about this and what they think might be able to happen?
Well, we're not hearing too much other than there was a letter that was recently released, signed by several legislators, many of them, and think public statements made. Behind the scenes, there is certainly a considerable concern, serious concern. They're leaning into this, and they're getting a lot of calls and feedback from pushback, I would say, from the business community. But I would have to say within the business community, as opposed to our legislators, there is certainly the sense that, and I would agree as a member of the business community, that what was done was the right thing. People needed to be paid. Our workers needed to be supported. There isn't a position in terms of anger about what was done, because the feeling is our legislators and the employers did the right thing. There was a lot of hustle to get their former employees, or not former, but their furloughed employees, or some, unfortunately, they had to let go permanently to get them paid. So there isn't anger in terms of what was done, because there was no way to draw this one up. There was no game plan. There was no strategy. The pandemic was something none of us invited. And that being the case, that we're all very cognizant of that. We didn't have a game plan to execute beforehand. But now that employers feel, hey, we did the right thing, there was never any question about taking care of our workers. But we need to take care of our businesses as well, because they have to stay viable and they have to continue to move forward. And we have barely gotten out of the tunnel here. And right.
You've been doing this a long time. Mm-hmm. You know as well as I do that this is a state that doesn't often listen to the business community as much as maybe we would like it to. Are you optimistic that it will listen this time?
I am. I mean, I'm cautiously optimistic. I'm not unrealistic, but I am cautiously optimistic, because I believe they understand we're in new territory here. So they have to set a precedent in terms of how will they balance the business community, their needs, their you know, functioning needs. This becomes a functional, systemic issue in terms of, like, are we going to take care of our economy in terms of being able to keep workers in the workplace? I mean, it comes down to that, because I'm hearing conversations. I'm hearing mm-hmm. things from employers saying, this might be lights out for us. With everything else we have to contend with, this is not something that we had planned for. We need a softer landing. I'm going to use the term softer landing. There has to be some way that we can address this and give employers what they need right now to be able to hang in there for the long term.
What can individual business owners do to help their own cause? Obviously, they need to get involved, but how can they do that?
Well, we certainly recommend that they understand, they keep track of what's being published in your publication, in the local media, Mass Live, Springfield Republican, or Boston Business Journal, because this certainly is just not just a Western Mass issue. Mm. All the business publications, all the newspapers, certainly stay on top of what's going on. They can go to the ERC, because they have taken quite a lead on this, the East of the River 5 Chamber of Commerce. Go to their website. They will be posting a lot of updates for members, but also for the public to stay current with things. They should sign the change.org petition that's circulating, and we can certainly get that to you if you wanted to get that out there to the business community. The petition's an important thing, because it can really show a lot of numbers. It could show a groundswell of, I don't want to use the term anger, but we'll use the term shock, but there's definitely some anger there, because of the fact that the employers feel they were ambushed by this, that there wasn't enough notice. So that is driving a lot of why the petition's out there, and why the we're doing what we're doing right now. But I would also say there's agreement that a reticence to blame anybody in particular on this one.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's like you said, those letters came out about a week, 2 weeks ago. Most of them did. Almost everyone has theirs by now. And mm-hmm. you look at the numbers, you look at it, you don't fully understand what's behind it sometimes. And now business owners are fully coming to grips with what those numbers mean. And they are scary. Yeah. If it's not lights out for a lot of these businesses, I imagine some of them will have to cut back. There might be further layoffs. And who knows, it'll probably just compound the problem even further. So like you said, we need that soft landing, and hopefully we're going to get one. So Suzanne, you've been a big help in helping our listeners understand this, come to grips with it, and hopefully move forward and be part of helping the state find that soft landing. I thank you for your time. We'll revisit in a couple of weeks or a few months and see where we're at.
Thank you for putting the focus on this, George. It's very important.
Okay. You're very welcome. Good luck to you. And I know you're going to stay busy with this. So
you will.
Good luck with all that.
Thank you so much.
Okay. Bye-bye. Thank you all for listening. This has been the latest episode of Business Talk, a podcast presented by Business West in partnership with Living Local. I'm George O'Brien, the editor of Business West Magazine. Happy to have you with us, and we'll see you next time.